Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernall. A tragic motorcycle accident on County Road W claimed the life of a 51-year-old rural Elroy man on Saturday evening, according to reports from the Vernon County Sheriff's Office and the County Coroner's Office. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson and Coroner Betty Nye identified the victim as Joseph Allen Sugden, 51, of rural Elroy. The incident occurred at approximately 6 p.m. August 29th when Sugden was operating a 1996 Harley-Davidson motorcycle heading eastbound. While navigating a right-hand curve west of Willow Road, the motorcycle veered off the left side of the roadway and struck a perpendicular field road. The impact caused the motorcycle to become airborne, ejecting Sugden before the vehicle came to rest in a nearby soybean field. First responders from the Hillsborough Fire Department and Hillsborough Area Ambulance arrived quickly to provide emergency care. Sugden was transported to Amplify Health by Gunderson-Hillsborough area, where he later succumbed to his injuries. Authorities noted that while Sugden was wearing boots and long pants, he was not wearing a helmet or a coat at the time of the crash. The circumstances surrounding the accident remain under active investigation by both the Sheriff's Office and the Coroner's Office. In a statement following the tragedy, Sheriff Torgerson expressed deep gratitude to the emergency personnel for their extensive life-saving efforts and quick actions at the scene. He extended his heartfelt condolences to the Sugden family and all those affected by this tragic event. The Richland County Sheriff's Office has provided an update regarding the recent stabbing at a Lone Rock gas station, which occurred at approximately 12:05 p.m. on Sunday. Witnesses assisted in keeping the suspect at the scene until deputies arrived. Upon arrival, Joseph Schultz, 35, of Lone Rock, was taken into custody. Schultz was later transported to the Richland County Jail and charged with attempted first-degree intentional homicide. The victim, a 42-year-old male from Madison, sustained multiple knife wounds. Witnesses and Lone Rock EMS provided initial treatment at the scene before the victim was transported to UW-Madison for further medical treatment. The victim is in stable condition and is expected to make a full recovery. Investigators later determined that the victim and Schultz were not known to each other. The Richland Center City Council is set to convene Tuesday, September 1st at 6:30 p.m. in the Municipal Building Council Chambers. A primary focus of the meeting will be a public hearing and subsequent deliberation regarding the potential discontinuation of the city's shared ride taxi service. Additionally, the council will review Resolution 2026-11, which outlines the city's formal concerns to the Public Service Commission regarding the proposed BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line project. Intergovernmental cooperation and legal infrastructure also feature prominently on the agenda. The council will discuss the operational status and city contributions for the Simons Recreational Complex, alongside the anticipated selection and contract award for the city attorney and legal services. Administrative modernization is also moving forward, with the council slated to consider a contract for the migration of the city's website and agenda management systems. Several committee-driven recommendations are up for final action. From the Budget Committee, members will consider the usage of WEC election security subgrant funds and the adoption of a new purchasing and procurement policy. The Planning Commission has brought forward a conditional use permit application from Schreiber Foods for dairy processing at 920 Sextonville Road. Meanwhile, Public Works recommendations include the award of the 2026 street maintenance bid and the annual dike inspection contract. The evening will conclude with a closed session to negotiate terms and financial incentives related to the development agreement with Cobblestone Hotels. Richland County has scheduled three key committee meetings for early September to address critical public services and administrative oversight. The Richland County Ad Hoc EMS District Formation Committee will meet Wednesday, September 2nd at 2 p.m. in the Richland County Boardroom of the Courthouse. During this session, the committee is slated to discuss and potentially act on the steering committee charter. Members will also review key takeaways, feedback, and action items from the recent towns meeting to determine recommended next steps. Additionally, the committee will focus on preparations for an upcoming town hall meeting intended for broader community engagement regarding emergency medical services. The following day, Thursday, September 3rd, the Richland County Community and Health Services Standing Committee will convene at 10:30 a.m. in the same boardroom on the third floor of the courthouse. The comprehensive agenda includes administrative reports from the Health and Human Services Director and Pine Valley Community Village, alongside detailed expenditures and budget summaries for 2026. Committee members will examine the HHS organizational chart and contract monitoring reports. A significant item for discussion and possible action is the approval of the application and acceptance of a Treatment Alternatives and Diversion, or TAD, grant, which aims to support local health and judicial initiatives. On Friday, September 4th, the Richland County Public Safety and Judiciary Standing Committee will meet at 8:30 a.m. in the county boardroom. The meeting will feature extensive departmental activity reports from the sheriff, coroner, circuit court judge, and district attorney, among others. In addition to administrative updates and monthly bill reviews, the committee will engage in discussion and possible action regarding the 2027 PSAP grant application and updates to the local emergency planning committee membership. A primary focus of the session will be the potential approval of a new ambulance purchase, continuing the county's evaluation of emergency service resources. The Richland Hospital and Clinics has reached a significant milestone in its mission to provide comprehensive local health care by officially launching its new Vision Services Clinic. This expansion addresses a long-standing gap in community care, bringing essential eye health services directly to Richland Center. Central to this new chapter is the arrival of Dr. Darren Vitz, an experienced optometrist who joins the medical staff to offer dedicated, family-centered vision care. Dr. Vitz brings over three decades of clinical expertise to the Richland Hospital, having practiced optometry since 1995. His professional background is distinguished by a deep commitment to treating patients of all ages, from pediatric care to managing complex conditions such as glaucoma and macular degeneration. Beyond his clinical proficiency, Dr. Vitz is also an accomplished musician with a degree in music, reflecting a diverse set of talents that he brings to the Richland Center community. The addition of Dr. Vitz complements the advanced surgical capabilities of Dr. Douglas Bowl, who has been providing cataract surgery and complex eye procedures at the Richland Hospital since early 2026. Together, the two providers offer a full spectrum of eye care, ranging from routine exams and medical diagnosis to laser retina surgeries and lens replacements. Dr. Bull noted that having Dr. Vitz on the team rounds out the services for local residents who previously had to travel to find such specialized care. For Dr. Vitz, the decision to join the Richland Hospital was motivated by the hospital's collaborative environment and the opportunity to build lasting relationships with families. He emphasizes that vision health goes far beyond achieving 20/20 vision, stressing the vital importance of routine screenings to detect underlying health issues. As he begins his tenure at the new Vision Services Clinic, Dr. Vitz is actively accepting new patients, further solidifying TRHC's commitment to high-quality care close to home. On Friday, August 28th, a coordinated effort between the Iowa County Sheriff's Office and the Dodgeville Police Department resulted in the arrest of two individuals following a reported theft at a Walmart in Dodgeville. The incident began at 7:42 p.m. when Sergeant Nathan Kenneker and his canine partner Sam identified a vehicle matching the description of the suspect's vehicle. During the ensuing traffic stop, the male driver, identified as Jeffrey Raymond Homan, 37, of Granton, Wisconsin, exited the vehicle, ignored commands, and fled on foot. a significant law enforcement presence, including deputies, the Dodgeville Police Department, and the Iowa County Sheriff's Office drone team, responded to assist. Sergeant Kenneker deployed K-9 Sam, who successfully tracked Homan to a dumpster at a nearby business, where he was taken into custody without further incident. Homan, who was on bond for prior cases, was found to have 10 outstanding warrants and numerous open cases in Dane and Columbia counties. He now faces a long list of charges, including resisting or obstructing an officer, operating while revoked, and multiple counts of bail jumping. The investigation at the vehicle scene continued with Deputy Benish and K-9 Phoenix, leading to the arrest of 53-year-old Troy W. Clark of McFarland. Clark, who was out on bond, was arrested for felony and misdemeanor bail jumping, as well as possession of drug paraphernalia. This successful operation highlighted the effectiveness of interagency cooperation. Sheriff Michael Peterson commended the Dodgeville Police Department, deputies, K-9 teams, the drone team, and the Iowa County Communications Center for their roles in the safe resolution. The incident also showcased the ongoing dedication of K-9 Sam, who, despite an upcoming retirement on December 31st, continues to be a vital asset to the department and the community. In the early hours of Saturday morning, a disturbance at the Goodspeed Family Pier led to the arrest of two individuals for a violent sexual assault. At approximately 4:10 a.m., a bystander alerted the University of Wisconsin-Madison Police Department after witnessing an incident near Alumni Park. Responding officers arrived on the scene to find that a sexual assault had taken place and immediately took two suspects into custody. According to investigators, the victim and the two suspects, none of whom are affiliated with the university, had met at a local bar earlier in the evening. The group eventually walked together to the pier where the victim was attacked and assaulted while attempting to leave the area. The two men arrested in connection with the crime have been identified as 31-year-old Yorfred H. Marcano Gutierrez and 27-year-old Arturo R. Santos Albujas, both residents of Fitchburg. Following their arrest, Gutierrez and Albujas were booked into the Dane County Jail. They currently face several tentative charges, including second-degree sexual assault with force, battery, false imprisonment, and strangulation and suffocation. Governor Tony Evers, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz recently gathered with a broad coalition of federal, state, and local partners to celebrate the official groundbreaking of the John A. Blatnick Bridge reconstruction. This massive undertaking aims to replace the aging infrastructure connecting Superior, Wisconsin, and Duluth, Minnesota, which has reached the end of its service life after serving the region since 1961. The project represents a once-in-a-generation investment in the region's transportation network designed to meet the modern needs of residents and workforces for at least the next century. The path to this milestone was paved by significant collaborative advocacy and a robust funding strategy. Following a period of delay, the U.S. Department of Transportation released over $1 billion in federal grant funding made possible through the Biden-Harris administration's bipartisan infrastructure law. This federal support complements the $400 million committed by both Wisconsin and Minnesota. Leaders emphasize that this achievement is the direct result of multi-state coordination and a shared commitment to ensuring the long-term safety and efficiency of this vital interstate link. The economic significance of the Blatnick Bridge cannot be overstated as it facilitates the daily transit of over 33,000 vehicles and serves as a primary artery for more than 265,000 trucks annually. Transporting nearly $4 billion in goods each year, the bridge provides essential access to the port of Duluth Superior and remains a critical marine link for trade with Canada. To support local businesses during the transition, Governor Evers secured a hub zone designation for the surrounding area, helping to offset potential economic losses and ensuring that local enterprises remain competitive as the new infrastructure takes shape. Moving forward, the project will utilize a design-build process to maximize innovation and cost efficiency. While construction is expected to employ approximately 1,100 workers annually, the timeline includes a scheduled complete bridge closure for up to 56 months, starting in early 2027. Final bridge designs are expected to be completed by early 2027, with the new structure projected to open to traffic in 2031 and reach full project completion by 2032. This modern upgraded bridge is poised to bolster the regional economy and provide a safer, more reliable crossing for generations to come. Vital statistics right after this.